Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. Welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And I know why you're hanging around, because you heard our good friend Howard Ruff is back on the show. Howard, and he is. It's true, ladies and gentlemen. He's here right now. Howard Ruff, the author of the mega book, the international bestseller, How to Prosper During the Coming Bad Year, something under a billion copies sold galactically. And he's the guy who's been telling us for a long time about the economy and about what we should think about what's happening out there. He's got an outstanding newsletter that has been going out for over 30 years that he's served hundreds of thousands of people with month after month after month. And he's our friend, Howard Ruff. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you back again. And Howard, one of the things that you've been saying lately is you've been asking the question, is America rapidly becoming a socialist state? Now, I have been asking some of the people that are considered to be your peers who've been on the show if capitalism is in any kind of jeopardy. And I think they're basically variations on the same theme, those two questions. What do you think?
Well, I'm not asking the question. I'm answering the question. We are rapidly becoming a socialist state. Depends. See, some people, when they say Obama's a socialist, they're just calling names. But I've defined socialism as what it really is. Socialism is government owning or controlling the means of production.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this administration is.
Government owning and controlling the means of production. I like that definition. Go ahead.
Well, for example, government contributed money to Obama, first under Bush and now more under Obama, and they own 40% of it now, and they've been calling the shots. They've been determining,
right,
as a major stockholder, they can tell them what kind of cars to make, with the
right
cars that their environmental peers want, and not the ones people want to buy. They fired their CEO.
I was very disturbed by that, Howard, when I heard, they basically admit now, the White House basically has admitted that they made the decision for the chairman of General Motors, Wagner, to leave the company. He went to a meeting thinking he was going to, you know, have some kind of productive meeting, and when he left, he was out of a job. That's very disturbing to me, Howard.
Well, the plot thickens. Barney Frank, congressman, announced that the government wants the right to control corporate compensation, even if they haven't given them any money,
yeah,
even if they don't have any voting stock rights to control. And so they want to make sure that you don't pay people too much. So that means that talent is going to be diverted from the big companies, and they're going to become entrepreneurs, and your constituency is going to grow.
Well,
that benefits us, but it moves government.
Only temporarily, though.
Pardon?
Only temporarily, because eventually those kinds of policies affect everybody. And the thing that I know, though, I'm not an expert on socialism, but the thing that I think I know about it is that socialism does not promote wealth growth. It does not promote. It does have an element of class warfare in it, doesn't it?
Oh, it's the total class warfare. In other words, you can't get socialism. Government can't get the public to back them when they control these companies unless they beat up on the big capitalists. And an interesting phenomenon is people start out as entrepreneurs, perhaps even relatively small companies, and when they become big, they all become socialists. And it's an interesting phenomenon. And what's more, the world history will tell us that all socialist states eventually fail.
Right.
And it scares the I've been viewing with alarm for 33 years, and I have never, ever been as frightened as I am now of what's happening to America at an accelerating pace with the public backing it.
One of the things to be fair about this thing, though, Howard, the government didn't impose this on the marketplace. The marketplace visited this kind of government intervention on itself. And I say the marketplace, not Main Street, but Wall Street primarily, visited this kind of intervention on itself. And when we come back after these messages, I'm going to get you to respond to that and tell me your thoughts on that. Folks, we got Howard Ruff with us. He's one of the guys who's been talking about these things for many, many years, the author of How to Prosper During the Bad Time, The Coming Bad Years, How to Prosper During the Coming Bad Years. His website is Ruff, R-U-F-F, RuffTimes.com. Stay with us, 22. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. We got lots of stuff there for you. My newsletter, my blog, my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, articles, archives, Brain Trust members, lots and lots of stuff. You can come there and enjoy it, all that, use all my stuff right there on the site, or you can take it back with you. We'll follow you home if you want us to do that. If you want to subscribe to my newsletter or RSS to any of our interviews or the archives, the past interviews that we've done or the current ones that we're doing right now, you can also subscribe to my blog. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JimBlasingame. And so check those things out when you get a chance and see what we've got there that will help you. Howard Ruff is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Howard is a friend of ours, a member of our Brain Trust, the author of How to Prosper During the Coming Bad Years. Also, Safely Prosperous or Really Rich. That's one of your newer books, isn't it, Howard?
No, that was my next to last book. The most recent one is an update of the big bestseller from the 70s.
Yeah.
It's How to Prosper During the Coming Bad Years in the 21st Century.
That's right.
I make part of my living by writing books, and when I realized what was happening, I decided to write a book, and then I realized that the same things were happening that happened back in the 70s, only more so. So it's like Yogi Berra says, deja vu all over again. So I decided to update that book. I eliminated a couple of chapters. I added a couple of chapters, and I updated everything, and that's what the book is out now.
And that's available wherever books are sold right now, and also off of roughtimes.com?
Yeah, well, let me tell you how you can rip me off if you want. You want to know that?
Okay. Yeah, we'd like that.
Okay, well, you go to my website, roughtimes.com, and you subscribe to my newsletter, $165 a year, and you get a free book. And
wow.
Then if you don't like the newsletter after a couple of issues, you cancel it, get your money back, and keep the book.
What a deal. What a deal. All right, well, folks, check that out, roughtimes.com. Subscribe to the newsletter, get the book, but I think, be prepared, though. I think you're going to like Howard's newsletter. Howard, one of the things that you talked about, we haven't learned anything. It does seem like we haven't learned a lot of things. I remember when Jimmy Carter rolled over and gave the Soviets the SALT II treaty, thinking that they were going to work and play well with others. We now know that they rolled us under the bus on that one. Now we've got President Obama is acting like the Russians, you know, wants to play nice with the Russians. When we know that they're not going to play nice, they're not going to work and play well with others, they've got a history of this, why do we keep making the same mistakes over and over again?
Well, it's naivete, but it's also political dogma. For example, all this problem we have, you made the comment off the air that it's the companies that really have backed this up, the big companies, they all turn socialist when they get big enough because they have... They figure they're too big to fail, and they figure they can always go to the government if they get in trouble. And that's socialism. And so so that's one thing that happened. And then you get an ideologue, you get a president who is in tune with with government control of private industry, and then you get a majority in Congress who are in control, and the people are a major factor. For example, half of the people in America get a check from some level of government, so where is the constituency for cutting spending?
Mm-hmm.
And then half of the people in America don't pay taxes, and they even get a check from the government.
Some of them do, yeah.
So where's the constituency for cutting taxes? Because they know that these bad guys, 5% of the taxpayers, will pay the bill.
And let's overlay that with the fact that the government now wants to increase the role of people on the government dole with regard to health care.
Yeah, well, also, truth is one of the victims here. Obama says that 95% of people aren't going to get a tax increase, and that's just a plain lie. Even with the present constituency, they're going to get a tax increase. They're going to cancel the tax cuts that happened under Bush.
That will make taxes go up. Yep.
Everybody's going to get an increase. Everybody, as a matter of fact, except for the ones that don't pay any taxes at all. And they're part of the enemy. And then a lot of big companies, especially on Wall Street, and bankers discovered that they could make more money by going along with all of the government actions and jumped on the bandwagon, they became an enemy of capitalism, too. And they
One of the things that I think Maggie Thatcher, Prime Minister Thatcher, said was the problem with socialism is that after a while you run out of people to tax. That's what's happening in Europe right now.
Yeah, well, that's what she said, is you run out of other people's money.
Yeah.
But they never run out of that because they've got access to the press, the printing press, and the modern equivalent of it. You know, only about 5% of the money is minted, printed, or coined, and the rest of it is just on the computers of banks. It's in cyberspace.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, and the government can create money at will, they can buy votes with it, and so that's what they do.
Howard, with all this going on? You know, I hear you. You've been around a while. You're a smart guy. I think you are a prophet in a lot of ways. And how does a company like mine? How does a small business like the members of our audience? How do we survive in these coming times?
Well, I think you need to reduce it to the lowest common denominator. You're not just small businessmen, you're family men or women. You have families. So the best thing you can do is do the things that all families should do, not just small business people. All families should do. There are some defensive things you can do, and there's some opportunities in all this.
Hold on to that thought, because when we come back, I'm going to come right back to those defensive and opportunity things. We're going to let you give us the list right after these messages, folks. Howard Ruff is our guest. His new book is called How to Prosper During the Coming Bad Years in the 21st Century.
Your heart may be broken tonight.
Reel it in the
Little Steely Dan bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 7-Till. We're visiting with our good friend Howard Ruff, author of How to Prosper During the Coming Bad Years in the 21st Century. That's the new and updated version of the international bestseller that you can find wherever books are sold. Also at his website, rufftimes.com. Howard, as we went to the break, you were telling us about getting things back to the lowest common denominator, whether it be challenges or opportunities. Continue with that thought, please.
Well, for example, most small businessmen are family people. They have wives and children, and they have to live with the money they take home in their business. Well, there are certain things that you should be doing, because you need to recognize that when we have a deflationary period like we have now, the government figures deflation is synonymous with depression, and so they only know one way to fight it, and that's throw money at it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been throwing trillions of dollars at it, more so than we've seen in our history.
And it hasn't worked. We haven't seen a lot of benefit from all that money yet, have we?
No, and what's
more... In fact, recently banks reported, the report came out that banks were lending less money today than they did in October.
Yeah, that's right. But the real problem is that when that money starts circulating, and it will, because bankers will finally figure out that they can't make any money unless they loan it. So this is going to trigger what one of my economist friends calls runaway hyperinflation depression. Serious stuff. This is going to happen.
That's like stagflation.
Well, it's going to be worse than stagflation. We had stagflation in the 70s, but this is going to be runaway hyperinflation, hyperinflationary depression. And as a result, if you have it, that kind of inflation, there are certain things you can and should do. For example, when you go to the store to buy something, anything you would buy on a regular basis at stores, not just food, you'll find that deflation inflation has disrupted the economy. And when that happens, prices start going up. When you buy one thing at a store, you ought to buy a case. Now, don't just buy one can of
right.
food, buy a whole case of it. Don't just buy one package of diapers, buy several of them.
Right.
And soap and all these things, and start storing that stuff. And then what happens is you buy them at today's cheap prices, and you will be consuming them at tomorrow's higher prices. And that's really it.
That could cause some people to hoard. Hoarding is not good either, is it?
And what's so bad about it?
Okay. All right, fair enough. What else should we be doing?
Okay, when you do that, then you recognize you should be getting out of debt so that you no longer have to make debt payments.
Yeah.
And then you have discretionary money. And there are certain things you should do with your money at a time like this. And historically, and this sounds like an old tune, but historically, the precious metals, gold and silver and all their derivatives and the mining stocks and so forth are going to be booming, soaring.
You've been a gold man. You've been synonymous with gold for many years, haven't you?
Well, no. In fact, I've been publishing for 33 years. I was only bullish on gold for 11 of those years. In fact, I got excommunicated from the gold bug church when I abandoned it, when it was wrong. I published a financial newsletter. I just got to be right. And
right.
times when I've... for example, when I was very bullish on the stock market and on bonds, but not now. I have to return to those roots again. And
so you're more bullish on commodities now these days?
Not on commodities in general. That implies I'd like the futures market. No. That's so dangerous, and the average person doesn't know how to play it.
Okay.
And even if he did, the odds would still be against him. But you want gold and silver. They're traditional, and historically they're traditional kinds of wealth that it stands in lieu of it is real money, stands in lieu of paper money.
Do you think gold is undervalued now at 808 something an ounce?
Heavens, yes. For example, during the 70s, in the last big gold bull market, gold peaked at 850. Well, today it's been for almost a year right around 900.
Yeah.
And so but if you adjust for inflation since 850 and look for a new high, you're looking at over 2,200.
Should we be buying the asset itself, or should we be investing in gold companies, like mining companies? Should we hold the gold, or should we store it somewhere? What do you think?
Well, yes.
All those.
But build your portfolio based on the actual commodities bought from your local home dealer, your local coin dealer. And
right.
So after you've done that, then there are real opportunities in the mining stocks.
Right.
And I have a list of them in the back of my book in the appendix that tells you which ones I like. And I like the ones that, for example, have most of their properties or actual mines in production in North America, because there's less danger of appropriation.
Being nationalized. Well, it used to be. Maybe not anymore, Howard, if the socialism keeps creeping up. Hey, Howard, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. Thanks for your many decades of service to us.
And I thank you, sir.
Thank you. See you next time. Howard Ruff, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.